Have you been expecting the snow? Well, they say it comes last night, but it did not. They say it will come this morning, but it did not. They say it will come after worship service. Hopefully, it will not. When it snows, do you feel like it's Christmas? Normally, during Christmas time, we see online pictures of families wearing matching sweater, matching collar. Have you had those pictures with your family? And have you observed husband and wife with matching collar of clothes when they attend church? Someone said that, no, we did not agree about it, but maybe. Does that prove a unified mindset of married couples? Well, unified mindset of husband and wife practically proves they are one in spirit. And as the intimacy between husband and wife grow deeper, their love for each other grow stronger as well. This intimacy of relationship between husband and wife, it is the nearest practical comparison of our intimacy of our relationship with the Lord. As the intimacy of our relationship with God gets stronger, our knowledge of Him also increases. Have you ever pondered? Have you ever imagined or asked yourself, evaluate yourself, your relationship with the Lord? How much do you know about God? How much do you know about God? What you know intellectually or what you know in your personal experience? Knowledge of God, or knowledge of God Almighty, exhibits the amount of faith we have in Him. Everyone may say, I have faith in God. But check yourself how much knowledge you have. Knowledge intellectually and knowledge intimately. Faith in God is shown in the frequency of obedience to Him. Anyone can say, I have faith in God. But check yourself. Don't just try to defend your faith. Instead, make sure that you really have faith in God by checking how frequent you obey Him. Frequency of obedience to God reveals knowledge of Him. So as you know more about God, the more we trust Him, the more we obey Him, the more we love Him. Our obedience help us to love God more. We obey because we love Him. We love Him because we know we are secured in Him. Together, let's meditatively reflect on what it narrated in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. Together, let's read. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, this is very interesting conversation. In the conversation, we easily understand the single meaning of love here, which is love. But in the Greek word, when Jesus asked, do you love me, son of Simon, son of John, he was talking about agape love. Simon, son of John, do you love me in godly love? But the answer of Simon Peter, he said, you know that I love you. I love you dearly. I love you in brotherly love. Phileo love ang ginamit. It sorry, nickel. It used phileo love, brotherly love, when Simon answered. And then the second time again, Jesus asked, do you love me? That's agape love. Do you love me, Simon? In godly love. And again, Simon answered, you know, Lord, I love you dearly as a brother. Phileo love. And then the third time that Jesus asked, do you love me? He used, do you phileo love me dearly? Do you love me? Do you love me in brotherly love dearly? That's the third time. The first and second, he asked agape love or godly love. The third time he said, because Simon Peter was answering, I love you in brotherly love. And then the third time he asked, do you love me in brotherly love dearly? There should be dearly there. And Jesus was hurt. Simon was hurt. Because the third, why does Jesus ask this three times? I told him, I love him, brotherly love. And then the third time he was hurt because Jesus emphasized about the brotherly love. That Simon was answering Jesus, where in the first two questions he was asking about godly love. And it's interesting also, when Simon said, you know that I love you, that's intellectual knowledge. But the third time he said, you know all things. You intellectually know all things, Lord, he was saying. And you know that I love you. That know you know that I love you. When he said, you know that I love you, you intimately know that I love you. When the Lord Jesus asked us, if me, for example, Lorenzo, do you love me? I probably be like Peter. In Peter, it was exemplified that to love the Lord Jesus, there's mission purpose the Lord gave him. The first, feed my lamb. That's the mission purpose of Simon Peter. The second, he answered, take care of my sheep. That's the mission purpose of Simon Peter. And then the third, the mission purpose, feed my sheep. Feed my lamb, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. What is the mission purpose of God for us if we say we love God, we love Jesus? Have you discovered your mission purpose? Pray about it. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? To love the Lord, we have mission purpose. He wants us to do that mission purpose for us to experience much of his love, for how he would provide us. Lord, I don't know how to do it. Well, depend on me and I will teach you. And the more we depend upon the Lord, the more we understand the Lord. Wow. Wonderful love of God. Jesus asked Peter the third time, do you love me? And Peter was hurt. Why? At that very moment, his love for Jesus was phileo love, or human instincting kind of love. It's not godly love yet. In the third time, Peter acknowledged eventually that Jesus intellectually knows all things. He knows what's happening, what's inside the heart of Peter, what's inside our heart, how we love him. And he confessed also that The Lord Jesus knows intimately that Peter loved him. He didn't understand why the Lord Jesus was asking him the third time. He was not paying attention to the mission purpose the Lord was giving him, because he was not yet filled of the Holy Spirit at the time. The Holy Spirit was not yet given to the disciples at the time. So at the time, he didn't understand. But just as we do not understand the love of God, sometimes we don't obey the Lord because we don't understand why the Lord asks us to do something. Why the Lord allows such and such problem in our life. But after Apostle Peter was filled with, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he understood it. Understand that nothing is hidden from Christ. Understand that the Lord knows us intimately, the intimate love for him. He knows. Or not yet. Do we love him? Do we love the Lord? Let's read what Apostle Peter advised in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness into goodness, knowledge into knowledge, self-control into self-control, perseverance into perseverance, godliness into godliness, mutual affection into mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sin. When it says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, it is not one time. It means it's progressing. We need to keep on until the Lord say, you have enough. Meaning, the more we grow in our relationship with the Lord, the more we experience that our faith grow, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. Interestingly, that love that Apostle Peter mentioned here, it's not phileo love anymore, but it's godly love, agape love. Remember always, this is a command. Make every effort, meaning it's a command. And every command, every godly command, can only be obeyed with godly effort. Meaning it is by the help of the Holy Spirit that we are able to obey such command, godly command. We cannot do it on our own effort. So always pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not one time. Because maybe the first time, there's just feeling of the Lord knows when we are fully ready. Maybe there's still hesitation that we do not even understand. Because the heart is deceptive. The Bible says the heart is deceptive. We think we know. We think we are very open to the Lord, but actually, we are not. Anyone may assume they know God intellectually. I know God. No, we cannot. We are limited. Think about that clay that the potter is making. The clay understand, maybe, that the potter is the one forming the pot. But the potter do not understand everything that the potter plans. Just as we do not know our Creator that much. We know very little. Well, is knowing intellectually, is it the same with knowing God intimately? For husband and wife, think about this time. Maybe when you were still infatuated with one another, you are still boyfriend. Do you know that your husband or your wife snore at night? No, because you haven't been together. Until you've been together, that you know, oh, lakas palang maghilig si Pastor Lawrence. They explain that to Nickel. It's just a joke on me. Intimate knowledge of God inspires obedience to Him. The more we grow intimate in our relationship with God, the more we like to obey Him. And as we frequently obey God, our relationship with Him becomes more intimate. And as we rely upon His Holy Spirit, godly love for family of believers, family of God, will also increase, so that we teach each other, we edify, we encourage, we strengthen each other. Amen. We pray for each other. We love to pray for each other. We hear a brother, a sister is struggling. We remember, Lord, take care of my brother, take care of my sister. We strengthen one another. The Lord loves you. I'm praying for you. Let's read again verse 1 of our passage. Now, about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puff up, but while love builds up. Now, again, know in knowledge, in our English translation, they are the same. But know here, we know, meaning intellectually know. We can memorize, we remember, that's intellect. We possess knowledge, it's not what we know, what we memorize. That knowledge pertains to belief, doctrines, what things that we practice. I know, like for example, I know how to cook. It's not just memorizing how to cook. I know because I am cooking. I'm doing. That's what it means. But knowing many things, knowing your doctrines, it says puff up. While love builds up. The term build up pertains to the idea of constructing high-rise building. For you who in construction or those who are handy man, handy woman, you know that high-rise building requires strong foundation. Christ is the strong foundation of the church. And His Holy Spirit produces love in us to build us up, to strengthen us, His church. Some intellectuals may assert that it is not helpful testimony to Christians to eat food sacrificed to idols. Well, will you gladly attend if non-Christian office mate, classmates, relatives, friends invite you to traditional cultural festivals? Will you eat without hesitation the food they may serve at cultural festivals? In the church of Corinth, there was confusion about food sacrificed to idols. The Apostle Paul said, knowledge pop up, while love builds up. What did he imply with that? Some leaders in the Corinthian church may have been invited to cultural festivals and they may have eaten food sacrificed to idols. So when they were confronted of what they did, why did you eat? So maybe someone observed it, or someone attend also but did not eat the sacrificial food sacrificed to idols. Maybe those intellectuals may have arrogantly justified what they did. Their rationale or logic may have disregarded the belief of others, especially those believers with Jewish background. reflect on what Apostle Paul warned Christians with Gentile background in Romans chapter 11, verse 17 to 21. You, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. Do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Do you like crab apple? Do you have crab apple tree in your backyard? Crab apple trees, accordingly, they are persistent in extreme cold weather. They can survive the coldest weather in Canada. In the Canada market, you may find Fuji apple trees. Have you found one? Fuji apple trees? How about honeycrisp apple trees? I think I found one. How about Gala apple trees? Have you planted? Or Macintosh apple trees? If you are able to buy those, you may have observed that they are grafted into crab apple root stocks. Why? Because the Fuji, Honeycrisp, or Gala, Macintosh, they can survive in the warmer zone, but they cannot withstand the coldness of Canada extreme weather. Now, so if you buy tree, you observe in the next near the root, there's this swelling part that is where it was grafted, it was attached. So when you plant the apple tree with that swelling, make sure that watch YouTube videos for you to know more about it, how to plant. Don't just plant like planting trees in the warmer zones. It's different. Grafted branches get nourishment from the rootstock they are grafted into, but they produce fruit of their kind. Like, for example, Gala apple, it will produce Gala apple. It's not crab apple, even if the rootstock was crab apple. Or if Fuji branch is attached to crab apple, it produces Fuji apple fruit. But if the Fuji apple branch is not properly attached or grafted into the crab apple rootstock, the grafted Fuji apple branch will die. But the crab apple rootstock grows. It will grow and it produce crab apple branches, and crab apple branches produce crab apple fruits. What is that to us? As Christians with Gentile backgrounds or Christians with Jewish backgrounds, we are all dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ for our spiritual nourishment. We don't feed ourselves. And for us to grow spiritually, we have to be strongly attached, grafted, intimately, fellowship with Christ for us to have nourishment, spiritual nourishment. The Lord nourishes us spiritually for us to produce spiritual fruit. When the Lord nourishes us with spiritual nourishment, He enables us to produce spiritual fruits, make disciples. How is that? We are to follow His instruction, not motivated by our human instinctive arguments or opinion or view. In the Church of Corinth, the Greek intellectuals may have arrogantly argued that they supposed as proper practice of faith. This is what I know. as best for my practice of faith. While Jewish believers argued on their belief of food sacrificed to idols. But both Greek intellectuals and Jewish believers, they may argue what they consider as right practice. What happens? New believers who are observing them, new believers who heard their argument, were confused. Now, the Church of Corinth had problem of division. Those who follow the Greek intellectuals and those who follow the Jewish believers. If they were still young in their faith in Christ, it's common for new believers to be confused of which one is proper practice of faith in Christ. When we are caught in a situation where our practice of faith could be challenged, we have to seek inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We should not let our human instinctive argument to provoke us. It's easy to be provoked, but think that there's spiritual warfare happening, which is why sometimes we are provoked when it pertains, when argument touches our practice of faith. We should not justify careless action that may cause confusion to others, but pray that love of God may edify, teach, strengthen fellow believers through us, through our words or action. Together, let's seriously reflect on what it says. This is what Brother Jay shared a while back. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another, build each other up, just in fact you are doing. So when we are discussing about faith in Christ, spiritual growth should be our basic consideration, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to build each other up. How is that? We share lessons we personally learned as practice of faith in Christ. We testify of what the Lord has done, the transformational work of Christ in our life. We build each other up spiritually so that we should not think or suppose otherwise. Let's read again verse 2 of our passage. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. Again, the word know here, in our basic ordinary understanding, if we do not know the background of it, is just intellectual knowledge. But the word know here that had been used in the original Greek manuscript was intimate knowledge of God. It's ginosko, or the term in Greek is ginosko, is intimacy of knowledge. It's not just what we memorize. Nothing is obscure to God. He knows if we love Him intimately or not so much yet. But the term think, properly interpreted as opinion, estimate, or judgment, or personal supposition, what seem to be. Those who think, those who have this opinion, those who have this view, those who estimate, those who judge, or those who have personal supposition, think they know, they suppose they know something, they intimately know something, yet they do not intimately know what they ought to know, what they intimately know. Why? Because it is the Lord God who enables us to know intimately. It's not from our human effort. This is why Apostle Paul said, he challenged those Greek intellectuals who may have arrogantly argued about their practice or why they eat food sacrificed to idols. Someone argued, well, Pastor, I'm just human to commit mistakes. True, we all have mistakes. We all have mistakes. But as the Spirit guides us, we reconcile God to potential believers. We do not dwell in that mistake. We dwell in God. We rely upon God. We pray that the Holy Spirit may guide our potential believers to this church. Pray about that. Keep praying about that. Someone shared, we've been praying that more and more people may attend prayer meeting. And very happy. The person's very happy because more and more church members are attending prayer meeting. Now when you come, you know. You will see that there are more people coming to prayer meeting. Let us reflect on what Apostle Paul had implored us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Think about yourself as ambassador of God if you are a believer. How about that? You are just not a so-so kind of person. You are ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors of God. Take that seriously, or ask the Lord, help me be serious of the position you've given me, being your ambassadors, reconciling people to you. On the premise that we become new creations in Christ, we could agree that we represent Christ in reconciling God to potential believers if we are new creations in Christ. How could we behave as ambassadors? How could we behave as representative of Christ before others, before the world? We have to depend upon Christ always. Ask the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit always. We don't depend on our supposition, human arguments. In our spiritual battle, we go to war with Christ. Christ, join us. Not with anyone we cannot trust. Can you trust your argument? Well, let me illustrate this. What happened to King David? King Saul was trying to kill David. And he escaped to the Philistine country, to the city of Gath. The city of Gath, the king at the time was Achish. And David King Achish trusted David, that David was loyal to him. But there was a war that broke out between the Israelites and the Philistines. Now, David and his men, they were ready. We'll join you in the war against the Israelites. But the Philistine commander asked King Achish in 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse 3 to 4, what about these Hebrews? Achish replied, is this not David, who was an officer of Saul, king of Israel? He has already been with me for over a year. From the day he left Saul until now, I have found no fault in him. But the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish and said, send the man back that he may return to the place you assigned him. He must not go with us into battle, or he will turn against us during the fighting. How better could he regain his master's favor than by taking the heads of our own men? They have reason. They have reason to not to trust David, right? The Philistine commanders doubted David. Why? They supposed that David may take advantage of the situation to regain favor from King Saul. Well, the Lord may have caused the Philistine commanders to doubt David, because later, if you know the story, when David returned home to the town where King Achish assigned them to live, they found out that their own town was burned down, and their wives, their children were taken captives by Amalekites raiders. David and his men were ready to prove that they were loyal to King Achish. They may wish. We wish we can prove that we are really loyal to you when we fight against the Israelites. But the Lord had better plan. He did not want David and his men to kill Israelites. And when they returned home, they were able to rescue their family from the Amalekite raider on time, because God had prevented them from unnecessary sacrifice for nothing. What is it that you sacrifice for the Lord? Let's read again verse 4 of our passage. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. First of all, what is an idol? What is false god? Don't talk about that, but think about the God of the Bible. If you know the God of the Bible, that the God of the Bible is the only true God, all other gods are false god. Idols are fake gods. The God of the Bible created everything in heaven and on earth. We believe that. He created humans, animals, plants, wood, metal, clay. But mankind, created by God, makes this false god out of the wood, the metal, the clay that the true God created, and make fake gods out of wood, metal, or clay. Mankind fabricates. Mankind repurposes into idol fake gods, the things that God created. Idols are simply decoration without power. They have no voice, they cannot speak, they have no hearing. Fake gods cannot see, they cannot walk, they cannot move under an effort. Why do mankind wants to worship idols? Well, they want to be more powerful than their God. Why? They want their God stay there at the corner. I will worship you, but don't move. And when I need you, I will come to you. Just stay there at the corner. How is that? It means mankind is more powerful than the God that they made, because they are the ones controlling the God. They only go there when they need the God they made. Right? So how could we explain to children? How could we explain to ordinary listeners when it declares an idol is nothing at all in the world? How do we explain that? An idol cannot do anything because it has no life at all. It cannot respond. It has no initiative. It cannot move. So it is useless to sacrifice to an idol, because you get nothing in return for your sacrifice. In comparison, the true God created everything before he created mankind. Together, let's reflect what is narrated in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 to 26. God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, in the wild animals, each according to its kind, and it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw it was good. And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Do you believe that? Do you believe that mankind is the most important among the creation of God? Do you believe that? So why did God create mankind the last, not the first, if he is the most important? If you were God, if you were in the place of God, would you create mankind first? No. Why? You create him last. Why? God prepares everything that mankind needs. Think about that. Before we were created, he created all our needs. When God Almighty said it, everything was created just as he designed it. The Lord God Almighty prepared everything before he created us, mankind. Of course, it is by faith we believe that. We believe that it happened just as it narrated in the Bible. The love of God is awesome. Even before we were yet to be born in this world, God prepared everything we need for godly life. Can you believe that? Before he gives us instruction to do, when he commands us, he prepared everything. Do you believe that? When he says, go and make disciples, he already prepared the disciple we are to disciple. Can you believe that? When the Lord says, and you will be my witnesses, he already prepared the potential believer that we would witness to. Can you believe that? Ask the Lord, "Lord, increase my faith to believe it." He prepared everything. We can see an example in the life of Noah. If you can believe that God prepares everything you need before he tells you something, think about Noah. When God told him, "Noah, build the ark." "Oh, that's so big." He gave the size of this building, maybe, or bigger. I don't know. I don't exactly know the size of this building, but it's almost this wide, but it is 3 times longer, and at least 4-story high, 40 feet high. Then God said, "Noah, build the ark." He just built it. "I will do what I can." He did not build it in one day. How many days did he build it? 100 years. Wow. If God will tell you to do something, and you do it for 100 years or your lifetime, will you do it? "Lord, what will I do?" "You just build the ark." God told him, "Is the ark finished, Noah?" "Yes, Lord, it's finished. Now, bring pairs of creatures into the ark." "Lord, how can I capture those creatures? I'm scared of snake. I'm scared of lion." "If you were Noah, how do you gather the wild animals?" Can you? Would you? Together, let's personally reflect what it narrated in Genesis chapter 7, verse 13 to 16. Noah and his son, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons entered the ark. They had with them every wild animals according to its kind, all livestock according to their kind, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind. Everything with wings, pairs of creatures that have the breath of life in them, came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female, and every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. Think about that. It says, animals going in. Noah did not try to catch every wild creature in the forest. Maybe if he had a dog, he just brought his dog, I don't know, or his cat, but not the eagles, not the snakes, not the porcupine. What else? Dinosaur? Oh, dinosaur were left behind accordingly. I don't know. The creatures were going in, and Noah was just watching the process. So when the Lord commanded us, go and make disciples, we are not watching the process. Actually, we do what we need to do. Go make disciples. The Lord will tell us step by step, practical step we need to do. When we witness to, Lord, where's the person you would like me to witness to? Maybe your spouse, maybe your family, your children, maybe your neighbor, classmates, office mates, playmates, who else? Relatives, friends. Do you accept that God caused those creatures to enter the ark that Noah built? Was it God who gave the mindset to the creatures so that they just go and enter the ark? Do you believe that there was really great flood? Do you believe? Think about that. Ask yourself, do I really believe that there was great flood? Seriously reflect on what the Lord Jesus Christ warned in Luke 17, 26-27. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. The days of the Son of Man pertains to the imminent return of Jesus Christ, the judgment day. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded to proclaim the gospel until Christ returns. And as we look forward to his return, pray for increase of faith and godly wisdom, knowledge of Christ, and do your best effort to know the Lord deeper. Know about God. You'll grow strong in your confidence that you will live with him forever. Do you have that confidence to live with the Lord forever? Do you have that faith to believe that the Lord has prepared a place for you in heaven? It helps us understand if we have that faith when we are actively doing the mission purposes that the Lord had given us, that is to witness and make disciples. Until we are involved in witnessing, until we are involved in making disciples, our faith will be stagnant. Our faith remains where it is. Ask the Lord, help me do the mission purpose, to witness, make disciple. Enable me. Ask the Lord to be filled, that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit always. And as we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are reminded The bread that we eat reminds us of the body of Christ crucified on the cross, that the Lord took our sins, nailed them with Christ on the cross. Do you feel like you still have sin in your heart? Ask the Lord to believe that He already had taken those sins. Even if sometimes we are reminded of the many mistakes that we have done in the past, the Lord had taken them, crucified them on the cross. The cup we drink reminds us of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross washed away our sins so that in Christ God see us as perfect, cleansed, without sin. But Pastor, I still commit sin. Yeah, as long as we are in this body, we commit sin. But ask the Lord for forgiveness, and He will forgive. As our leaders would come and join me here,